too many buttons to press. Where's that AI that was supposed to have that does everything for you?
Okay.
All right. So do we want to wait or do we want to get started?
I think we can get started. Corey catches up.
All right. So welcome everybody to first golf committee meeting of 2025. It's certainly not golfing weather out there, but it's not exactly skiing and tubing weather either. So. But anyway, I guess the first order of business would be to approve the minutes from October 9th. Do I hear a motion to approve them?
I make a motion to approve them.
I second.
Okay. Everybody in favor?
Aye.
Taken care of. All right. Over to Tyler for the 2025 year-to-date review.
Okay. We'll go through a lot of numbers here. So, Court, hopefully you can see these on this screen. We'll spend a little time on here, but if any of you have any questions as we're going, feel free to jump in here. I mentioned to these guys, the middle column is that year-to-date, so that's the actual fiscal year numbers, so that's the one we kind of want to look at, and then the far left prior year-to-date is comparing it to the previous fiscal year, so fiscal year 2023. Some highlights are obviously a big jump in green fees, driving range, and I have these called out too, catering, pro shop sales, you name it, we go down the board and it's an increase over the previous year. If you look at the total golf course revenue, which includes the green fees, driving range, punch passes, you know, $1.4 million compared to $1.1 previous year. And then even a larger big jump, which is largely contributed from the concessions and grill operations, is we go from $1.2 million in the golf course rental category to over $2 million. And then there's some non-operating earnings, so interest we have on funds that are in the bank and things like that that contribute that $172,000. And then on the next, the far right page, we get into more of the expense side. So the revenue side is smaller, more concise. A lot of our categories and items are combined in those larger items, whereas our expenses are broken down a little bit more. You'll notice our depreciation on equipment, buildings, and everything went up. That's partly because of all the equipment we purchased. Cost of sales down. You can kind of go up there. Temporary employees, which I want to talk about too. A big increase there. A bigger part of that is wage increases for employees, as well as our operating season was longer. Grounds care, and a lot of these, it's a big increase. Part of it is because we were open longer than the previous fiscal year, and the other part of it is we purchased a lot of things that we're still kind of catching up on the building remodel that we need. Hopefully, and I know that those will kind of drop out as we go. One item on here, well, two that I want to point out that I have very little control over, it's a big contributor to our cost, is this indirect cost allocation. You went from $53,000 to $90,000. That's the city admin, finance, benefits and salaries. So portion of Ken's, portion of finance, so Heidi, those are attributed on our account for what work they do for the golf course. So
how do they calculate that?
I don't really know.
But there is a formula.
I know it's a percentage that Heidi worked out that evaluates how much they're contributing.
It's not based on the revenue at the golf course.
No. What I was told from the big jump from 53,000 to 90,000 was our takeover of the grill and the event center, which is attributed to more work on their end. So. It's not a line item that I like because I can't control it, and it's almost $100,000 there of revenue that's outside the golf course. So I wanted to point that out. Ken probably has more insight on that as well. And then the other one, the general and contracted services, you see that went from 24, that's about the eighth one down.
Yeah, 24,000
to 48,000. Part of that, and I looked at it today, part of that is actually the grill. So it's listed in the golf course operation, but some of that's been equipment for the kitchen. So it wasn't nearly that high, but I left it in there just because we were already kind of finished the year. Advertising, everything's kind of there, same as the previous fiscal year.
So like those, if that was equipment, that's not being capitalized, that's just being expensed?
Yes, if we go down to on the last page, it has more of that closed debt, closed asset, machinery and equipment. So we'll touch on what we purchased, and then I'll maybe mention what we're looking at for next year. So that's kind of the bigger operating ones. The golf course one, we were just on. Yep, we were just on this.
So we're under bank charges, $91,668. That's just credit card fees?
Credit card fees. And so we're looking, we've moved over to a different point of sale system that has a better credit card rate, which will save us some money. Bigger part of that is we were busier and ran more transactions
right
than the previous year too.
But are the companies taking a higher fee too? Did they raise their fees?
Lightspeed actually lowered their fees. So Lightspeed payments, we were running them through Stripe, which is another merchant account.
Yeah.
About I want to say August of last year, they moved away from Stripe to their own, they called it Lightspeed payments, so it was their own point of sale transaction. It was cheaper. I'll look at them too. It's a discussion that I've had with Ken on having a minimum credit card amount, because anything under $5, they charge a large, it's just like any other credit card, they charge a fee. And a lot of places charge a minimum, but it's been it's a hard one to look at. If we range balls is about our minimum transaction, which is $8.51 or whatever it is. So we could get away with, you know, if someone wants to buy a water, that they've got to purchase more, but that becomes a cost of doing business, and I don't want to frustrate or make the customer mad because we're not going to sell them a $3 bottle of water.
It becomes a big number, but it's kind of irrelevant.
Does that big fiscal number, though, make you rethink maybe accepting cash again? Or
no, because I think there is some, even though
it's too much problem on the other end.
Yeah. I think on the financial side, it's much cleaner to not have the cash, or the concern of, you know, money leaving the drawer, or the work. And I, this sounds silly, but me having to go to the bank every other day to drop off the deposits and then bring the slips down to the bank has been way easier on our end, not having to count cash. And
you don't want cash in this day and age. So nothing but a problem.
But you've probably wondered what you could do with that extra $91,000.
Where's the number, the $91,000?
Yeah, it is.
Page two under bank charges.
Almost at the bottom. It's the third column over. You see it's the fourth number up.
Okay. Page two under bank charges. Okay,
it's
paid.
Yeah.
This is 69. Goes over.
So this is last year. This is this year.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
It's a hard one. You know, I even look at 3 or 4 years ago, and that bank charge was, our budget was $24,000, and we weren't quite getting to that. Large part, again, we have more transactions and more golf.
But still, I mean, when anything quadruples like that on the expense side, that has to raise a red flag. Yeah?
Now, I will say they charge more for prepaid bookings. So they call it card not present. So that, you know, we're not inserting the chip, we're not tapping, they're purchasing online. So we've pushed a lot of people to do that more, which has increased our fees on that too. I think that there's also that benefit of we have less no-shows, we have more people that are prepaid. So even though there's a higher line item there, I think future-wise we just look at building that cost more into what we're charging for fees. And
exactly. And I've heard just for 30 years from every kind of company, and everybody thinks it's always too much, but if you use credit cards, you get more revenue, and you've just built it into your price.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a sad fact. Generally speaking, it's easier.
What are you going to do?
It's easier on the consumer end and on the bookkeeping end. So, you know. So. And it certainly reduces theft of cash.
Well, yeah, I mean, cash is just all kinds of problems today, from theft to being held up going to the bank to, you know, having to count it to,
getting a loss.
Check the cash drawer every day. I mean, it's especially when you have a lot of employees, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, but we have, I don't worry about the safe in my office getting broken into.
Yes. I'll diverge to a little story. I go into a big steel company in Cleveland, as many, many years ago, and we go to count the petty cash, and this guy's account is $10,000 short, and this is 1967 or so, you know, $10,000 a lot of money. I mean, the guy's almost berserk. I mean, I didn't steal anything, I didn't do anything, I didn't do anything. Well, you know, make a couple of calls and find out the other half of the fund, which he never counted when he took over, was in another division in another building. And so the other $10,000 was over there. But, you know, I mean, that's, you know, figure a $20,000 fund, and here the guy took it over and he never counted it, and it was only half of the total fund. It was someplace else. So anyway, I think we just absorb that.
So am I reading this right on concessions and catering? So last fiscal year, it generated $40,600 in revenue, and this year, $322,792. That's fabulous.
Yeah. So the two, there's really three grill items. There's it's on the first page.
Okay.
The concessions catering, concessions pro shops, and then concessions grill. Those all three items are the grill revenue. But yeah, we're up significantly over last fiscal year, which was our first full year.
Yeah, last year we were still in startup on it, right?
Yeah, we really started February, March, and had, you know, 4 or 5 months to get it.
Yeah, but all three categories are up substantially. I mean, that's
and even more so this year. So, and I'll show you our year to date this fiscal year. We're up even more.
This is the first year that we've required them to use our catering, right?
In the event center. Yeah.
I think we allowed them until about August last year.
Well, it's made a tremendous difference, and it certainly justifies the remodeling and renovation of the clubhouse and the event center. I mean, there's your proof right there.
Right.
You know, if anybody thinks that wasn't warranted, look at the numbers. It certainly was.
The cafe operating costs, does that include the social center too?
That's on this. That's a separate one. So.
Oh, here it is. EV Center.
Yeah, that one's on the very bottom.
So those two, but is that revenue? Okay, concessions pro shop and concessions grill.
Yeah, that's the revenue portion.
Okay, so our expenses exceeded our revenue a bit then.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Our second year of operations for
that's what I was wondering.
Restaurant facility to make money, especially where we were so seasonal. We have 3 or 4 months that we're really not busy at all. I thought we did pretty well.
Yeah.
And Justin and I have had quite a few conversations on doing even better this year, and we have. You know, we've kept our food costs below 30%. Our labor costs are still a little high, but we're working on still figuring out how to run a restaurant.
Well, that also reflects buying a lot of new equipment, right? I mean, the kitchen basically had to be completely overhauled.
Stuff that you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't depreciate.
Right.
You're going to have
fixtures.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, we bought I can't remember what it's called, but it's essentially a can opener, an industrial can opener, $400. And it's not an electric one, it's a hand crank. 30-year-old piece of equipment that's supposed to stick around for a while.
It's an antique.
You know, it's an antique.
It's a big thing you clamp on the counter, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a clamp to the counter.
Every restaurant has them.
So little things like that we haven't had. It's been nice for Justin to have, but those are expensive and things cost.
You buy a pan, you know, and $150, and you could go down the street and get it for $20. But the problem is industrial and qualified to handle food versus this one down the street.
Right.
Yeah. So it does make a difference.
Okay. Let's jump over to the third page. We've kind of already looked at a few of these things. Well, any questions on any of the golf course clubhouse operational expenses? Anything else there?
Do you have another one?
I don't. These are.
Oh, that's okay. Year. I'm good.
All right.
Thanks.
I'll tell you what, Ken and I'll share.
I can share this stuff anytime
I want.
Well, I noticed
you
a few things have gone down, like water and sewage have gone down. Are there specific reasons for that? Or
I won't remember.
We were up on the golf course side. The operational side for on the third page for the golf course portion of water. We went down a little bit, I think only because some operational things that Weston's done and continuing to adjust sprinklers. This year we're up. It is really just so weather dependent on how much water we're using. You know, for example, this August was exceptionally warm, and we were up almost 20% in water usage this August compared to last August. And the conditions of the golf course were great, which I can't fault him at all with that, which we can use less water because it's less expensive. But it's so weather dependent. And even the length of the season, we're typically watering, you know, around the start of April till right till we shut off middle of October. But Weston does a great job of keeping track of his expenses too. And I'll notate too, we're up again on temporary wages. A lot of that is helping Weston get more help to make the golf course better, which I think was great this year. He's mentioned to me several times that this, at least the bulk of the busy season, was the most help that he's had for a long time, and good help, which showed. I think Alan and I can both attest to how great the golf course was throughout the year, and it showed from golf customers as well being part of that. Nothing really big. He was pretty close to almost everything last year within a small percentage of use. One thing we haven't used a lot of the last couple of years, but we will this year and moving forward, is our tree fund. We've talked about planting some trees and bushes and things in areas that we need to or want to, especially where we've lost some in the last few years. A lot of our, as you're out there and see large cottonwood trees that are coming to their end of life cycle, they're 25, 30 year trash trees, is what we like to call them, but some of them are starting to die off and we're removing them.
What will you replace those with?
I believe Nick is actually our certified arborist, Nick Bozen, on our staff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'll leave it to them to tell me what type of trees they want to plant. There's some that grow well and some that don't. We've talked about a lot of the Australian pines that do well at the golf course. Mm-hmm. Little thinner pine trees, but they look really pretty. So.
Did we get any reimbursement from the major storms that we've had for the trees that we've lost on those?
No, not on the golf course side.
Okay.
I think fortunately, we are really nice trees, other than the one really big one that was kind of by our pump house on left side of 10.
Yeah.
That huge one that fell over. None of them were too integral to the golf course.
Well, you know, that storm, what, 3 or 4 years ago where we lost 90-some-odd trees.
Yeah.
And I wondered about that storm if, you know.
There were no federal funds associated with that, Kent?
No.
No remediation funds? Or?
No.
Darn.
Is the $75,000 that we have in our budget for the trees, does it include trees for the golf course?
No.
It's a separate
one? No, separate.
Okay.
He's got $10,000 budgeted just for golf course trees on here, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll, you know, we have a lot of square footage and acreage of the golf course, but that will cover a good amount of trees for us to replace.
Yeah.
Our challenge, and I know Weston's, he has a saying, which I won't, tree-free
by 2023.
Yeah.
We've missed it already.
The trees are not, the trees are pretty, they're not a good part of the golf course, but for a golf course superintendent, they're
a nightmare.
They're nightmares. So We've got to find some spots that are out of locations that we're cutting and find the irrigation close to those so we can keep them growing in the native grass without having to impact the golf course. So for example, up on the right side of 11, you know, we cut down a bunch of cottonwood trees 2 or 3 years ago, and they've Harry Circle contracted with us that they would plant trees back to replace. So we planted those some pine trees this year, some of those Australian pine trees, and we'll continue to do those in areas. My preference would be to kind of block some of the street views and house views and things on certain holes that kind of enclose the golf course a little bit more than having those views. So that's something we'll
do. Yeah, it's tricky. If you plant trees too close to greens and tees, the grass doesn't grow at all. There's a reason why renowned golf courses such as Oakmont, etc. Oakmont has removed 3,500 trees from the golf course. Removed. So they're not adding trees, they're subtracting trees. Yeah.
They also destroy your cart paths and
there's
nothing good about trees on a golf course or around a house, actually.
they're
the trees down by the putting green for that reason.
The two 14. Really nice pine trees.
And that's why you have to be really careful what species of tree you plant, too, because the root system will... There are a lot of trees that the root system goes straight sideways, and those are cart path killers.
They also tend to be magnet for golf balls. Get rid of all my tree for you right
there. You know, you could lease a chainsaw when you sign in, maybe.
Yeah, if the trees are gone, you can hit the houses, you know. They might even bounce back onto the course.
So the next line item after the greenskeeping operation is the CAPE. So that shows you our cost of sales, which is the food preparation. We've got our wage for Justin and Andy, and then our temporary, and then some employee benefits, and then operating supplies. That's what we talked about earlier about a lot of the kitchen equipment and items and things that we're purchasing to kind of keep them running. My hope is that eventually we have less and less and less we have to buy now that we've kind of caught up. And I think we're in a good spot. We're still always refining our menu and how we're operating, but I think we're getting closer to where I envision us being moving forward. So
Amy, if you look at that, our revenue is a little over 600,000 and our expenses are about 567, so we're generating a bit there, but it's 10, not a whole 10%. Lot.
Pretty much a even Steven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that should go down pretty much every year for the next several now.
Yeah.
Shouldn't it?
Yeah. And I look at, Justin and I just talked this week about our calendar year. So he looked at January through December, and we were over 700,000 in revenue for the calendar year. And then our food cost was 29.3% of that, and our labor cost was in the 30s. So, you know, if I, not including fixed costs with Justin and Andy, but we're making some headway there, which I'm pleased with. My biggest worry with taking over the cafe was, and I was told by several people that restaurant business are nightmares to operate and run, and I didn't want the grill to be a detriment to the golf course operating. Having the golf course have to subsidize our other operations. So for us to make even a little bit of money, I'm pleased with. But I don't think I'm not satisfied with where we're at any point. So.
Yeah.
And then the last one on the left, event center, that kind of just shows you some of our costs there, which is relatively low compared to the revenue that the event center brings. If you look on that first page, I want to say it's little over 200,000 revenue for the event center rentals. Angie's done a great job for us. She's part-time. She's really great with customers and getting us some of these events. As we're looking at this calendar year, it looks to be very busy for us on both golf tournaments and events. So.
This is Angie Kimberman.
Yes. Yeah. And then on the last one on the far right, that kind of shows you some of our capital improvement expenses with The bond payment there with principal and interest, if you remember, that was from borrowing money to remodel the clubhouse, and then some irrigation, construction, machinery, that's contributing to those amounts as well. Any questions on any of those before I...
So is there still a surplus in the funds for clubhouse renovation?
Yes. I think I might be covering it up on the far... it's actually going to be on the one I hand out to you next, so we'll talk about this fiscal year. That's where we're spending the remaining of those funds on the driving range structure.
Okay.
So we had $410,000 left of that bond money. And that's the budget money for the driving range.
Hey, Tyler, can you hear me?
Hi, Cor. Yes.
So I'm not seeing any of the PowerPoint stuff. Could you just make yourself a note, email me over the PowerPoint presentation so I can look through the numbers I'm hearing?
Yeah.
And thinking about it all, I just want to review it, and then if I have any questions, call you back.
Okay. Let's see.
Thank
maybe
you.
I could... That's probably my fault not sharing here.
No, you don't have to do it now. Just... there we go. Okay, well, that helps.
Sorry. I thought Wendy had loaded it up for us. But I'll still email it to you so you have these.
Please do, so I can look through it. And if I have any questions, I'll just talk to you individually. Thank you.
These are some of the bigger numbers we went through on revenue-wise. The graph on the far right is our rounds of golf. So you go back to fiscal year 2010, so 09, 010, and then through there you see kind of our big jump even from last fiscal year. And then we've already went through a lot of these items, but I've combined our bigger revenue.
So you're up 25,000 rounds. Fabulous.
Yeah, 15, just yeah. Almost 15,000.
From fiscal year 10, you're up 25.
Yeah. So it's a large jump. So we look at how much our operating costs and our expenses have jumped, largely contributed because we had 15,000 more rounds, especially our temporary wages and our labor to keep us staffed. You know, 2 years ago, for example, I'd have one person opening in the morning. So it was generally Brent or Alan or I would be there from 5 o'clock until 8 or 9. And then that second employee would kind of come in to help get them through the morning, and then we'd have two, and then in the evening we'd have one closer.
Yeah, you got to have more.
We can't. It's just not feasible
for
us. So we've ultimately have gone from, you know, 3-4 employees a day to 6. So we've had 2 people in the morning and 2 people at night, which I think has helped a lot of things for us. There's some accountability with those that are working to make sure we're staying on task, and someone's always there to help if there are needs. But it's been fun to see how busy we were last year and to kind of see where we're going. And I'll get to this year's numbers too, see where we're at. But you'll see on the next slide, I've got some comparisons. Our simulators, I've talked about it in other meetings too. It was kind of if you remember last winter, we went to offering a 1-month simulator membership. And we were twice as busy as we were the previous winter, which we did about 28,000 our first winter in the simulators. And we dropped in revenue, even though we were twice as busy. So our 1-month membership, to try to get more people in there worked, we just made less money. So we went back to the 3 and 6 month, and we're already exceeded this winter where we're at in the simulated revenue, kind of more in line with where we should be.
With January and February left to go, you've already surpassed last year, right?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the memberships have priority purchased since they are 3 months.
But didn't we originally look and estimate we were going to do like 60,000 in those simulators?
Yes, if we get to that 50 membership, I think there's still room for us to grow. We probably have 35 memberships right now. So, and they're busy. I mean, they're getting used for sure.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is we had a longer golf season this year. And so people aren't as willing to go do simulators. I mean, we've been golfing in January up there. So, December.
That first big snowstorm in December, we got quite a few memberships purchased over that weekend.
Yeah.
So, this gives you an idea of rounds too, just month by month. So you can kind of, you can see, you know, this fiscal year, and I'll point out really November and March, how much busier we were in the slower months of the season. So we did almost $3,000 in November, and the same in March, which is more consistent with what we did in fiscal year 22 in those slower months as well. So almost every month on there has more rounds than the previous year, previous high rounds.
Hey, Tyler.
Question
for you. So of the rounds, do you guys track the group or tournament rounds as a percentage of total rounds?
Yes, I have it broken down by player type, and I'm happy to, I can share that with you all.
Well, I would just say, looking at this, we need to charge more.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I guess if the tournament rounds are increasing as a percentage of total, then we get away with charging more for the tournaments, or vice versa. But honestly, I think the more rounds you have, the harder it is to take care of, the worse the experience could be for people.
Yeah.
So if we can charge more and have even drop and we lose 10%, people have a better experience, we still make the same amount of money with less damage. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
True. Yeah. Yeah, 80,000 to all of us is too busy. That's a lot of golf rounds for Eaglewood.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
Like you got.
I would be surprised if we ever get to that number, even though we'll get it to where we're at already, you know, 6 months through this fiscal year. But
and just for clarification, that's 80,200 nine hole rounds, not 18
yes,
hole
nine
rounds,
rounds,
right? That big difference there. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And this gives you, this is kind of just the revenue, so it doesn't include the non-operating revenue by fiscal year, so you can kind of visualize that as well. So this takes you back all the way to 2000.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
It's fun.
Well, and to keep it looking good with 80,000 rounds.
Yeah.
Because I live up there, and I think the past year, it's looked better than it's ever been. Like,
yeah,
even going out and playing, like, I wouldn't have guessed it was 80,000. I mean, the greens are good. Like, there's not divots everywhere. There's,
yeah.
That's good.
Weston and his staff are great.
Phenomenal.
I would say they're top public golf course superintendents in the state, for sure.
Yes.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Based upon what we've seen on some of the other courses.
And he knows, you know, if anybody knows Eaglewood, it's Weston.
Right.
So,
yeah.
He's,
grew up with the place.
He knows what's going on, which is
great
for us.
Yeah. Like
I just wanted to highlight a little bit on the merchandise. This is an area we've grown quite a bit, but I still think there's opportunity for us to branch out of just having the brick and mortar store, doing a little bit more online, having more sales, more discounts, more promotions, a lot of things we can help to grow the golf course merchandise revenue, golf club sales, for example. This just shows you, this is a little bit different than the papers I've given you, because these are during that time period. What's showed as expenses isn't necessarily what was sold during that time period or what was purchased. So these are sales from July 1st of 2023 through the end of June 2024. So it gives you end date, here's what was sold, here's what was purchased. And with the margins on golf apparel in the pro shop overall being 38.4, I'd love to have it over 40, but I think that's a pretty good number for us to be. And the way we get there is increasing some of our higher margin categories. And making better margins on some of our lower ones. So golf clubs are always low. There's not much margins in there for a golf course It was surprising to see a few of those, especially golf balls. We kind of cheat a little bit there. There's not as much margins in golf balls as 44.71%, but we have our used golf balls that have 100% margin for us that kind of help help with those sales. Obviously, it's, you know, it's not a huge money maker for us. I think it was $4,500 in used golf balls, but that was a lot for us to.
Let's see, how many? Three or four hundred that you got back?
The golf balls?
Yeah,
oh, the ones we brought.
Yeah.
We got way more than that. From you, we got three or four.
Yeah, it was about 400 for us. Yeah.
Our driving range is a blessing and a curse because we get quite a bit off our number one tee box down on the driving range that we
ton of pretty collect. Nice golf balls there.
Yeah,
first out of the water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a brand new
We'll jump over to, let me hand these out.
Box.
These are the similar formatted of this fiscal year through November. So I was trying to get December's ready for you, but I've got it through November. So on the left is this current fiscal year. So starting July 1 through end of November, and then compared to last fiscal year, which numbers we just looked at. So again, 2024 record numbers in pretty much every category that I look at, and this is just revenue. But give you an idea how busy we've been, even with a slower November, as far as golf goes, we're up quite a bit. So you go down the list and we're a good percentage higher. Look at food and beverage, $90,000 more than the previous one. Event center, I had to look a little closer at too. That didn't have November's events listed on there, and then some events in October haven't been added that were added in the previous year. So we're closer to 90. $92,000 on the event center if you add in November's, and I'm not sure why they weren't. If you look at the period actual, you can see how that has a zero on it for event center rentals. But so overall, pretty great.
Explain why the lessons are zero.
We don't.
Is that contract work?
Yeah, okay. Yep, so they collect. We used to collect the funds for the junior golf camps.
Yeah.
And then pay them out, but it became we were collecting and then just handing back out, so we kind of made them just collect their own revenue funds for junior golf camps, which has worked out easier and better for us. I don't have to get with Sue on how much each person's allotted and how to add it to their check. It's a lot easier. I didn't add any on that, but you guys are welcome to take those. Like I mentioned to John, Roger, and Karen, our next meeting, when I have some of these spreadsheets, I'd like to send them out before our meeting so you guys can review them and make notes and ask questions on anything you think of or you might have. Ultimately, rounds drive revenue at a golf course. The busier you are, the more money you're going to make. The busier you are, the more expenses you're going to have. So it's us just a balancing act between where do we spend our funds to maximize our revenue and maximize what profit we're going to make on the golf course. I mentioned to them as well, after the next city council meeting on the 21st, I'll maybe just email you out the financial statement from the auditors that show a more accurate picture of where the golf course was at without all of the interest funds and the depreciation. It really gives you a clear picture of how well the golf course did. This last fiscal year, cash over our revenue, we netted close to $400,000 just in increased revenue from cash that we've got in reserves now. So, let's jump over to Gateway Parks. So it's been a little bit of a slow start for them. They had their first day open was the 14th of December, so they've not even been open almost 3 weeks now. Their second lane, they just got open this last week. And then they just opened their little free skiing, snowboarding terrain park yesterday. part of their slow start was they weren't able to make snow, and we didn't have any snow because of the warm temperatures. So it made it a challenge for them to kind of get going. The next week, they'll be making snow almost 24 hours a day until they get their terrain park and their third run going, and then they'll probably build up a little excess snow in case we get some warm weather. But our grill operations are slow because of that. I'm not to the point where I'm frustrated, but I'm disappointed in the start we've had. I was hoping they would bring a few more customers to us and really help bolster our winter operations. So,
is it pretty much just a single person staffing?
Yeah, during the busier times when they have, they're good enough to tell us when they have people coming, and Justin and Andy are checking with them throughout the day, which bookings they have, when they'll be busy. Essentially, we have one person there all day, and then we have a front of house staff helping during the busier lunch periods and times of the day. So Justin and Andy are kind of rotating days, they're on and off, so we're not.
And how limited is the menu during the winter?
It's more limited than we have in the summer. They still have hamburgers, doing a few breakfast items, breakfast burritos, French toast. Really, those are our main items. We do a pizza. I don't know if they've done too many of those. We try to look at that more as party and groups coming in and easier way to feed everybody, but it's certainly limited more than what we have in the summer.
So how does the public know what's available? Because, you know, I just live over here and I haven't really heard anything about it. Haven't heard details, haven't seen any marketing things, or, you know, I mean, the people, if you build it, they will come, but they won't come if they don't know about it.
Linda with the city communications director, we just got back from Gateway Parks that they're offering a discount to North Salt Lake residents. That'll be going out in the newsletter, and then posting it on Facebook, the Facebook groups.
At City Council, we talked about that as well, and we're thinking that we need to do kind of a press piece on this, maybe with the Davis Journal and outlets, so that because it's a pretty cool thing, right? But not enough do know yet.
Yeah. I know that they've, talking with Jennifer, who runs their marketing team, and Aaron, who's the owner's wife, does a lot of their marketing stuff as well. They have a few news stories lined up, but they didn't want them to come out when they had one lane open and no snow and all this open. So they've been, I'm sure they're just as anxious to be busy as we are, if not more so. But I do think that they can do some improvements on their marketing and social media and paid ads to get the word out.
You know, the city council scheduled a day at some point. We're going to go up there on a Saturday, all of us. I think the golf committee should join us, too.
Yeah, we can throw you all down there.
I went.
It's pretty good.
We were up there on New Year's Day or whatever. It's fun. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's not a million people.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You can ride it as much as you want during your time, and then it's time to go. So it's nice.
Yeah. One family up there today, they came at their 2:15 session, which is the first one. They said, "We've always gone to Woodward, and this was great because we didn't have to wait 45 minutes to go on the lift."
No, I actually thought it was cool. I have a friend that lives up by Spanish Oaks, and they did, like, you know, they've done it every year. And I was telling him that we do it now, and he's like, "Oh, it's so cool." And so I think eventually it will happen, like busyness. I think it's just been a weird year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been weird to drive past it. You just see this strip. Like, but now there's snow, so it looks real. Like before, it was just weird.
Yeah, just a white strip down there.
Yeah. I know they have a lot of interest with their terrain park. I can hear them throughout the day answering phone calls, and that's the bulk of their questions.
It'll happen.
I hope that brings some people to come and take a look at it.
There was a fun picture on Instagram, because taken from up on the platform, and you've got, you know, tubers going down, and three people down here on 10 golfing. And you want to know who those three were?
Yeah.
You.
Me, my sister Marilyn, and Jim. So, and we figured, and it was a great headline, because it said, "What do you want to do, tube or golf?"
It's fun.
So it was fun.
It'll take off. I think it's just, it's been a weird year.
Yeah.
And I do think around here, like, word travels fast, right? And so once people start going and doing it, and it'll happen.
I know that the Discover Davis tourism group that does a lot of Davis County stuff here coming up. Part of their group's going to come do a news piece on it, too.
Yeah.
So
it'll happen.
Yeah, fingers crossed they get a little busier and get the word out a little quicker. So, this is, if any of you have driven by or seen the white structure on the driving range, it's the structure of a portion's done. So we have the concrete in, we've got the structure up. We've got the outdoor furniture ordered, and then the driving range mats and equipment ordered as well. So really all that's left for us, and I say all, it's going to be a big part of it, is the electrical.
The biggest part, the actual structure.
Are you using the storage area then for storing the equipment and et cetera?
Yeah, so they're...
At the end piece?
Yeah, so the TrackMan, they have a server, a computer, almost similar to this, but it's going to be quite a bit bigger. And all their radar and all their technology feeds into. So they have to have a climate-cooled building with their equipment in it. So we'll have a mini split system on that that will keep that structure heated or cooled for their equipment. And we'll put our range ball machine. I should have taken a picture from the front, but our range ball machine will move from where it is now. You see the blue tarp over to here. We'll also put our ball washing station and everything that is now under the deck in one spot, so it'll be a little bit easier for us to clean golf balls, more organized, everything will be together. So
good plan. I like that.
Ideally, our range picker machine will pull up, drop off golf balls, throw in the washer, and it'll feed. Eventually, it'll just feed right into the ball machine without us having to throw in this.
How many TrackMan units originally?
So there'll be 18.
18 TrackMan units?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So once the season changes, all that decking and all for the tubing will all be out of there?
Yeah. Yep. So they'll pull all their stuff down. We've talked initially with them on doing more of a permanent structure. It wouldn't be anything like this, or wouldn't be in any way of
the range
or hitting area. But if we continue with this agreement with them, and if the city council decides that's where they'd like to go, we'll look at something. For them, it may be a little bit more semi-permanent, and maybe permanent that we can utilize for other things as well. So.
Have you had feedback from the neighbors with the light system and the,
you know? I know we had a lot of concerns before they even opened.
Yeah.
I have not gotten one phone call.
Good.
Which is surprising to me, because I get phone calls on just about everything else.
Yeah.
One neighbor with lights. They left one of the lights on the run overnight that I got a phone call from, but I think they fixed it the next day for me, and I haven't heard from her since. So I hope, and they want to be good neighbors too. The last thing they want to do is upset someone or anybody and then not be able to come back. That's their worst case scenario, is not being able, all of the funds and everything they've put into opening this operation here, and then not being able to do it next year is probably worst case scenario.
Sure.
So they want to be good neighbors, and they want to be good. Hayden, younger guy that's running this operation, he's been great. So I'll text him on issues, and he is pretty responsive. So.
Speaking of lighting, when will the lighting go up for the driving range facility?
We probably won't do that until mid-March. We have the radar locations marked and partially dug out. I'm dragging my feet a little bit on ordering the lights. The stadium lights are expensive. Mm-hmm. And even the lights that are gonna go on the edge of the building, so we have six lights, spaced out. Each of those lights are $1,200 each.
Ooh.
And I have them built out, I have them quoted. It's from a Wisconsin lab lighting. They do a lot of stadium lighting. They do a lot of driving ranges. The poles, post lighting out here, they're about $15,000 each. So I just have to order them. They're sitting in my inbox and ready to go. But the under the deck lighting will be the same thing. I'm trying to get Hunt Electric to kind of get going on the conduit and running the wire and and doing the back-end work now, and then once we pull power to the building here, then make those other connections. So we'll have everything kind of ready to go, and then pull power to the building probably end of March once we have.
How tall will those light poles be?
Not very tall. They'll be at or below number one level height. They'll be more pointed down than anything on the drive range lights. The ones on the structure will be kind of on the edge. I think it's 13 feet tall on the highest point on the structure.
Yeah, they can aim those so that it's...
Yeah, and we have the ones, I wish I had a picture of them, I could probably find them, but the ones we have ordered for the driving range have shields on three sides. So they have shields on the sides and then top, so really the lights are coming almost directly down.
Protection from golf balls, too?
Golf balls, too. They'll be the LED lights, so they'll, they'll be on, I'm sure we'll have a bunch of dents and things in the metal casings, but hopefully they'll withstand some impacts on it. So we have, the bulk of our budget's used, the $254,000, for the larger ticket items with the concrete and the structure. Majority of what's left will go towards the electrical, like the lights and the install and pulling power. Just to get power from number 9 up to the building, I think, was $65,000.
Wow.
Just to get the power there, and that doesn't include any of the infrastructure on the building. So. And then we'll have some heaters, probably fall. So I'm going to wait. We'll have the power ready for them to connect. We'll probably install the heaters towards the end of summer, early fall, to have them ready for when it cools down again. So. And my last item, there's just kind of some things I'm thinking about and for next year. Ultimately, I want Eaglewood to be the best public golf course in the state of Utah. That's been my vision from when I was hired. There's a lot of great public golf courses out there, and I say that I want to be the best, a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I know we can be up there, and I think we're making some headway. So a few ideas and things we're implementing this year to not only increase customer satisfaction, but also employee satisfaction and more togetherness for the golf course employees to kind of keep us going. So we're revamping the Snack Shack. We've struggled with operating there. So we're looking right now at doing more of a, not a mixed drinks, but a soda shop out on 7-Eleven that will operate on the weekends when we're really busy. We'll do some more giveaways on the golf course. There's a few golf courses in Canada and Wisconsin that have done, that I talked to their head golf pro, they've done some, on their par threes, they've had employees go out on their busier times and days, not even with tournaments, not just with regular public play, for them to interact and do some small giveaways with customers coming through. And I thought hole number 8, as we've redone that, and that'll be more of almost a signature hole to have somebody out there giving away logo balls or interacting with customers on busy days like that. The TrackMan, as simple as it is a driving range, opens us up to do so much more on the golf course, as far as doing leagues and doing giveaways and doing contests throughout the year. I think is going to be fun for us. So, for example, if we had a closest to the pin contest for the month of June, and everyone that comes to hit range balls can log in, they can select tournament to play, and they can play our closest to the pin contest, and the top 2 or 3 closest to the pin hitters win a prize for that month. And we'll work on getting some volunteers, some prizes and things from vendors that will help offset any cost to us and have them really pay for the things we're giving away, which will be fun. We just got it in this week. We're going to do a little spend some money and get some gumballs, gumball treats. They're really not gumballs, but free bucket of balls, free 9 holes, free ball markers, free towels, free hats, some more tea prize type things for people coming to incentivize them to spend money. And we talked last time about having a social media person. I think that I'll be presenting that to the city council at the end of February as far as part of my golf course yearly presentation, and talk to them about that, on how that can really help us grow even more. So, yeah. Any questions anyone have on?
What's reliable GPS units?
Oh, that's kind of, I should have put a smiley face on there. Towards the end of the year this year, we've had some issues with them connecting, and we're trying to figure out with Tag Marshall.
Supposed to be coming and putting in the battery.
Cart 45, please.
We've had some units
more than that.
Charge.
It's probably like half of them right now.
Yeah. I know.
Honestly.
Part of our job is to check the GPS units as we're going along.
So when they're good, they're great. When they're not good, they're not useless. And there's no in between for a customer, right? If it works okay, it's not good. They have to be perfect for them to be a benefit to the offer. So
yeah,
we're getting on them to help us alleviate some of the issues we've had. They've been good so far.
What's at the root of the problem? Is it a transmission problem?
It's a gas battery charging issue is the biggest part. Second one is reception with SIM cards they have in the units. So we're trying to get them to swap them.
Yeah, we're supposed to be changing SIM cards, and we're supposed to be putting in this in a battery converter that helps the units to run with less battery power, supposedly, or stay on, because that's been the problem with them shutting off, is that they're showing that the battery is not giving enough power to the unit.
And it's impacting
so then it
the
GPS. Off the whole, whole entire unit completely.
What's the last chapter?
It's a book that we read. It's just when customers leave, what their last impression is of Eaglewood. So having them make sure that they have a great experience, even if they've had something negative throughout their day, making sure as they're leaving that they've had the best experience they've had anywhere. So not just at Eaglewood, it's, wow, I had more fun there than I did Pebble Beach, or, you know, I want them to really think about their experience at Eaglewood. And hopefully that continues to their friends and whoever else.
Your POS company, will send out a customer satisfaction survey automatically to everybody by email, right?
Yeah.
Have they been doing that yet?
We've been using it. It's called T-Reach is the company we've had do it.
What's the percentage of respondents been?
I have to look. It's fairly low on the respondents, but if you look at our Google reviews, that's a contributor to those.
Because that's the easiest way to get customer reviews too. Because you can pick you can pick and choose a little bit on those. So if somebody has something positive to say, you can post it.
Yeah. Our new point of sale system. I'm working with them on getting the same company that's helped us get a lot of these. The feedback and reviews incorporated with their system too. They have another one that they use. It's a little bit more. It's not as intelligent, I guess, is the way I want to put it. You know, the other one will do. It's not bothering someone every time they come. You know,
right.
It'll send them a notice on the first and maybe the fourth
kind
or
of selective,
fifth time.
Yeah, selective.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas the new point of sale system, they have that capability, but it will send it to them automated as they come. So we're working with them on that to try to come up with a better communication system for reviews.
So things are looking really, really great, but brings up one old piece of business, which is our long-range plan that you may have in your head, but I mean, this is not obvious to the golf committee or maybe not even to the city council. What really triggered me off, I'll pass this around, I happened to receive this from the Sierra Club, and it shows pretty much what you did here in a nice summary form.
Yeah.
But then it goes on to what's ahead, and like a lot of these things that we've talked about, what do we really want to do with the event center? Do we want to have that booked 24/7 like some of them are? Don't we want to do that? It's even what we've touched on a little bit earlier today. I mean, do we want to make money at the golf course? How much money do we want to make? Where do we want to make it?
Yeah.
The other thing that's, I think the tubing has helped is that's more of a community thing, not just golfers.
Yeah.
You know, the 4th of July and that stuff is community, not just golfers. But I would like to see us, you know, get a document together, which is a long-range plan, which is a lot of pie in the sky to some extent, but I mean, you're actually touching on most of the things you would put in it right here.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, I mean, I think the committee needs to really know what's the goal. I mean, do we want to make 10% profit? Do we want to make 30% profit? Do we not want to make a profit? I mean, it's hard when I sit here at least to look and say, well, you know, I mean, what do we need to do? Do we need to bring that social media person on right away if that would really boost things up? Yeah. I mean, we can't have many more rounds of golf from what you're saying.
So the
question is that we've got to look at these peripherals then. We've got to look at the cafe. We've got to look at the event center. You know, the golf driving range is an excellent thing. And, you know, those are coming out of your head from prior experience and all, and they're really good. And the thing is, we need to, I think, put some perspective on that. The simulators, I mean, we should have some goals as to what we want them to earn and, you know, how to go about that. Because I think from the standpoint of, you know, Alan and the rest of the staff, it's helpful when everybody knows what the course is trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll bet right now if we went in and we asked 10 different employees what the objective is, we'd get 10 different answers, right? Because...
Yeah, the advantage of
there is no document.
The other advantage of a long-range strategic plan is you set specific goals, but then it allows you and your employees to track those goals, and it also makes it possible to incentivize everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, you call a team meeting and say, "Look, guys, here are our driving range goals for this season. Here's how we're going to reach those goals, and if we do reach those goals, there's some bonus, there's some incentives for you at the end of the rainbow." But the other thing is, you're spot on. It offers direction, and it's a document where people can go back and say, "Now, are we on course here, or are we just treading water, or you know, are we going straight rudder full speed ahead?" See, it's a great thing.
Yeah, it eliminates spending effort on something that might not be a priority, okay? I mean, I don't know personally where the event center sits. I don't know what the city thinks. I don't know what you think. I mean, to me, I think you could make 10 times as much money there from what I see at all the places. If that's not a goal, all right, that should be known, then we don't even think about that.
Yeah.
You know, you just keep focused on the things that are most important. But like you were saying, I mean, if you can't really expand the rounds that much more, yeah, one alternative is to raise prices. But the question is, do we really want to do that?
Yeah.
I think that should be an objective too. I mean, that goes back to the city council. And, you know, are we here? We're not a profit-making company, so we're not here to make a huge profit. But you have to make a profit to stay in business. So we want to do that. And, I mean, we're in really great shape right now, but... You know, what happens if the economy slows down this year? What happens if the stock market tanks a little bit and a lot of the extra money that people have had to spend all of a sudden dries up? You know, I mean, you can have some pretty quick changes. I mean, I noticed the unemployment rate has now jumped in the country quite a bit. And so does that affect many people that come here? I don't know. I'd like to know a lot more about the demographics of who our customers really are. I mean, I know the people that come down with me from Park City, they're not going to be impacted no matter what. But, you know, is our average player going to pull back if the economy starts to really dump, which there's some indication that it might do, you know? So, I mean, all things that you never know. But the point is we talked maybe for the last 3 years about getting a plan, and I think we need to take these kinds of things, incorporate them into that, and maybe we should set a goal here within 6 months to try to have at least a draft of something available.
So Ken and I, it's probably been the last couple months, and it really was, we're talking about this social media person, about having, basically what that is, having a state of the golf course, just like you would a state of the union type material that has some of that in there, having that social media marketing person to help you with that, as well as doing probably quarterly newsletters out to at least the residents around in the area and North Salt Lake. But incorporating a lot of the, you know, the 185 list long-range plan items I've got into something that gives us more of a timeline. Here's priorities. And
right, and actually, you might find that some of those group that one is dependent on the other. I mean, the other thing that I think should be in there, we know we've got to do something with the irrigation system in the next few years, right? I mean, that's a big dollar item. That should really be one of the prime things in there. And, you know, that, see, that kind of drives, if you need a certain amount of money for that, how are you going to generate the money in order to do that? And so a plan like this, I think, would really, really be helpful. And, you know, I mean, I'm impressed with all the employees you have there. I mean, they're really responsive, and I think you'd get some good input from some of them too, you know, that they see things that when you're running the thing, you don't see because you're too busy, you know, but they just watch it from the sidelines and kind of know that it's going on. But anyway, I mean, I think we need to definitely put that on the agenda and, you know, get a start on it. It's never easy. Sometimes it seems like a waste of time, but in the long run, it usually, I mean, I can give that to you and you can make a copy and send it out to everybody if you want. I mean, that just happened to come in the mail about 2 weeks ago. I wouldn't say that's necessarily what I would think the perfect one, but it's a good idea. And, you know, Sierra Club raises a lot of money. And, you know, something like the social media presence, see, I think if that was on our list, I would move that much higher because my wife kills me every time I come to a meeting. She says, you know, I've never seen an advertisement for the cafe. You know, and we live a block away, you know, I mean, and not that we don't know it's there because I play golf there, but there's plenty of people in our neighborhood who don't play golf there.
They should go up and eat.
Excuse me?
They should go up and eat.
Yes.
Well, they don't even realize it's open during the winter.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, because, you know, from where we are up here, you know, up there, I mean, you know, it's 2-3 miles to go down to get anything to eat, so it's very convenient.
It's a great convenience,
Yeah, I drive up there from my house to go eat, so.
Well, anyway, I mean, I don't want to say, on that same way,
the PGA of America has short-term and long-term strategic plans that you can kind of get an idea, and they have several. When the PGA of America owned and operated Valhalla Golf Club, I used to get a strategic plan for them every year, and they would go 10 years out. And then they would have a review that would show what goals they accomplished and what goals they failed to accomplish. So you can get a template on a lot of that stuff so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel, if that's helpful.
Okay. Well, anybody else have anything for the good of the order? If not, I guess we can take a motion.
I would move that we adjourn. Right. John,
I second it.
Third.
All in favor, let's leave. Yeah.
Thank you for coming. And, Court, thanks for being online.
Thank you.
See you, Court.
Thanks for your show up, Court.
Thanks for holding Court.
I detect from what Court said, they're probably seeing in their business the same kind of thing we're seeing here.